Well, good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How y'all doing this morning? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let's give God a big hand for who he is and who we get to be because of him. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. There's literally no place I would rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising his name. So sometimes I say thank you for being here. But I'm just going to start saying I'm excited you're here, because I don't think that a thank you brings it justice. And we're not doing anything for God. We're doing everything to honor him and bring glory to his name and receive what he has for us. And we have an amazing part to our good news series today. And before we get there, I just want to pray. And let's pray that God speaks to us, that we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of his word. Lord, I thank you for gathering us in this place today, Lord. I thank you for every single person, Lord, every single man, woman, and child, Lord, that is here. And God, I pray that as we hear your word today, God, that it would not just go into our minds and stay there for a little bit, Lord, but it would transform from our mind to our hearts. And it would not only impact change in our lives, but in the lives of the people around us, and most of all, Lord, the lives of the people outside of these walls. Lord, use us today. We bring all honor and glory to your name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're continuing our series entitled Good News, and I just want to first give you a little bit of a recap of where we've been in the book of Mark, and today I'll tell you where we're going. Sound good? Okay, before I do that, I had to give the instruction manual to the first worship experience. I want to do it now. So if I ask a question that requires an answer, I expect to get an answer. Is that good?
Yes.
See, look at that. You're getting so much better. We're going to get better as time goes on today. But here we go. So our series so far, we've been in the book of Mark. Our first week, we talked about John the Baptist and the way that he was preparing for Jesus. The second week, we talked about the baptism of Jesus, and then we got to have baptisms that day, which was pretty cool and exciting to see all the people get water baptized. Then we talked about Jesus and how he called the first disciples, how he poured into their lives and asked them to continue to pour into others' lives, similar to what he's doing in our lives still today. He's calling us to follow him and help others meet him and follow him. And then we talked about healing and coming against these religious spirits. And now we're talking about, anybody want to guess? You all. You're like, wait a second, I wasn't in the book of Mark. Yeah, yeah, we all are. And we're going to jump into an amazing parable in the book of Mark. But let's first go to Mark 4, verses 1 and 2. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So what did Jesus do? He got into a boat. I think I just love the Bible and the way that it causes us to think and place ourselves into a situation. Imagine standing on a lakeshore. You see Jesus. Everybody crowds around him. He's like, I'm getting on a boat. I'm going to get out here so that as I communicate, others can hear more and I'm not surrounded. I don't know. I just like the mental pictures that it gives you and places you there. So then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on shore. And he taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. So let's pause right here. Today, I want you to be able to already in your mind start to place yourself within this parable. Because you're talked about in this parable, maybe not by name, but you are talked about within this parable that Jesus is using to teach the people on the lake shore. So today, I want you to be able to just place yourself in this story. And we're going to help you unpack that throughout. But first, let's talk about what a parable is. A parable is something cast alongside a truth in order to illustrate that truth. I don't know about you all, but I love illustrations. I love the way that Jesus teaches in parables because it causes me to think, to place myself within that parable, to place you all within that parable, to place us within that parable and how we're being used to continue to illustrate what Jesus illustrated. That's number one. We good so far?
Yes.
All right, back to the rules, okay? If I ask a question, I want to answer. We good to keep going?
Yes.
All right. It is a comparison between one thing with another, a likeness, something that's created. So this is where we're at. This is where we could be. Things are alike. I love that Jesus puts the cookies on the lowest shelf. Now, I'm okay with it being on a higher shelf too, but not for all. I like the lower shelf. It makes it easier. As long as it's not below my knees, I don't do anything below my knees. I don't paint down there. I don't. If Rachel puts something away in the kitchen and it's down here, I don't know where it's at. I just don't look there. Okay? Last thing, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I love that everything should have an eternal aspect or perspective. We should always be focused on eternity. We should always be focused on where we're going, not where we're at. A heavenly perspective. Whenever we have a heavenly perspective, when we connect these earthly things to heaven, we see things differently. Listen, this is temporary. That's permanent. One or the other is permanent. You get to pick which one. Like, what is he talking about? Heaven or hell, that's what I'm talking about. But everything that we see here helps us to have an heavenly perspective here on earth. So let's keep going. Verses 3 through 6. Listen! I love the sound of crying babies in church. That's our growth plan. Keep growing the church. He said, be fruitful and multiply. All right, a farmer went out to plant some seed. Everybody say farmer.
Farmer.
All right, now see, seed.
Seed.
I like how you said it just like me. That's good. We're going to keep doing this, okay? As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath. Everybody say footpath.
Footpath.
This is fun. And the birds came and ate it. You're getting excited, Chuck. I like it. We're allowed to be excited in church. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. Everybody say shallow.
Shallow.
Rock.
Rock.
This is good. All right. But the plant soon wilted under the sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns. Everybody say thorns.
Thorns.
That's great. That grew up and choked out the tender plants so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil. Everybody say fertile.
Fertile.
Now, I have a question. Does anybody have a friend or know anybody named Myrtle? Okay, I just wanted to ask the question because I've never met one. Anyways. And they sprouted, grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So within this parable, we're not just talking about farming. I'm thankful I'm not a physical farmer, but called to be a spiritual one. And all of us are. But in this story, we are the soil. You're the soil. The seed is the word of God. So when we go throughout this story, I want us to understand what's being represented here. We're going to unpack some other things. There's some other things represented within this parable as well. But first, I want to unpack all four types of soil. And I want you to place yourself throughout the remaining time of our teaching in one of these categories because you're dirt. I'm dirt. We're all dirt, and we get to be used by God to be a certain kind of dirt.
Amen.
The first one, a footpath, hard and dry. You may feel like you're someone that is getting walked on. You've got walked on your whole life. There's been things in your life that have tried to grow, but they've never taken root. I've seen things grow out of concrete, and I'm not talking about Tupac and a rose that grew out of the concrete. No, I'm talking about the only thing I ever see is weeds. Weeds grow out of concrete. And weeds aren't good for anything unless you're a little kid and you pick a dandelion and give it to your mom. That's cute. But don't put any of those dandelions in my yard. I work very hard to get rid of them. There's a yard down here in White Oak. I think that's where dandelions started. But anyways, here we go. Shallow and rocky. Now, I'm not saying that you're shallow. I'm saying the soil that you are is shallow, and there's rocks below. So the soil on top's really good. But then there's some rocks that are causing some problems of the things that are trying to take root in your life. Thorns and overcrowded. Now, I know we're in Pittsburgh, so I'm not going to call it a thorn bush. It is a jagger bush, and it will be that for the remainder of our time together. Amen. Fertile, ready to receive the things that God has for us, and fruitful. Four different types of soil. Listen, we're all dirt. We're one of these four. And the seed, again, is the truth of God, the word of God, the promises of God. So many times we think that we might have a seed problem, but in all honesty, we have a heart problem. And if you had a heart problem, naturally speaking, you would tell somebody and then you would go get help. Unless you're a stubborn guy. You would try, it's just going to work it out. It's going to be good. It's going to be all right. No, you shouldn't be out of breath going out up the steps. Like, there's something going on here with your heart. We need to get checked out. And then you would go see a physician, and then they would refer you to a specialist, and then you'd get all these things tested and worked out, and you would want healing in your life. Now, I want to let you know that you are in front of the cardiologist of all cardiologists. The one who created your heart. Listen, there are many people in the medical field, they're practicing medicine. When you go to a physician, they're practicing. That's why they call it a practice. They don't know all the answers, but we're going to go before the ultimate physician today. And he wants to do some heart surgery in some of your lives and get that shored up and fixed. Amen? Amen. Let's go to verse 10 in Mark 4. Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were getting gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. And he said to them, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And when they see what I do, they will learn nothing. But when they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven." So Jesus is very purposeful in the reason and the ways and the why that he communicates. But we have to listen clearly. Remember a few verses ago, shouted, "Listen!" Listen doesn't just mean to hear. It means to comprehend, to absorb, to take what you're hearing and put it into action. I can't tell you how many times my beautiful wife, who's sitting in the front row, has said to me, "You're not listening." And I say, "I am listening." And I repeat back to her what she said. She said, no. "You may have heard what I said, but you didn't listen to me or the heart behind it." And at that point, I'm caused to sit back and truly listen, comprehend, take it all in. And then I usually will say to her, like, "Listen, do you just want me to listen or do you want me to fix this?" So as you listen today, I don't want you to just hear what I'm saying. I don't want you to just hear what God is saying through this message and these verses and his promises. I want you to truly listen and take heart and comprehend and then ask yourself, what are you going to do about it? Because there's a God part and there's a your part. And later on in our time together, there's going to be a your part. And believe me, God's going to meet you with his. I promise you that. I believe that with all of my heart. But when we place ourselves in a position to listen and then hear and then do, It changes everything. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is like a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path." I don't know where you're at today, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, but I do know that God wants to lead you somewhere. He never wants you to stay stuck where you're at or feel complacent where you're at. You can be comfortable where you're at and ready for a next season, but he doesn't want you to get complacent. He wants to light the path that's before you so that you can walk towards him with great faith and great anticipation for what he is going to do. And I'm believing that as we identify who we are, what we are within this parable, it'll move some of us forward on the path. I'm believing for that. I'm praying for that. There are people that have been believing and praying for you in that all week. So let's look at Mark 4, verse 15. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Listen, you may be a footpath. You may feel like you've been walked on your whole entire life. You've been beat up. There's some cracks. There's some really rocky area that the concrete's breaking down on the footpath. Or maybe you're just a footpath through the woods and you got worn down over time, eroded over time. But you started attending his church. And I'm not saying here at Bridge City, I'm saying the big C, the church. And you started to hear things that were good. You started to hear things that spoke to you. But then the birds came and stole that seed right away and took it away. It's like once you walk outside of this place, all the seeds that were planted are gone because they can't take root. Because you've been getting walked on your whole life. Listen, I don't want us or you or me or anyone in my life to be a footpath. I want you to be able to take what has been planted in your life and allow for it to flourish and grow. Let's go to the next type of soil. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Like, this is great. This place is great. Man, that message, whoo, best message I've ever heard preached today. Because that's how you feel when you walk out. The joy starts to get robbed. The soil on top is really good, but there's some rocks that hit hard on Monday morning. Some even Sunday afternoon, right when you walk out of this place. That never has time to take root. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. As soon as a problem comes, whatever seed was planted in your life, whatever truth was planted in your life, it goes by the wayside, out the window. If we're talking in landscaping terms and farmer terms, it gets put through the shredder. Those trees have no chance once they get put into that shredder. I've seen it. It's crazy. It's not fun. I don't want to be the tree. I don't want to be the shredder either, but I just want to be good soil where seed gets planted and it's rooted and it helps others grow. So I want to talk about being rooted. The first opportunity that you get offended here at church, you're going to want to get uprooted and leave. Because your roots haven't grown deep enough yet. The first time somebody hurts you or says something that you don't like or challenges you in a way you don't like to be challenged, you want to uproot and leave. And then you go plant somewhere else. And guess what's going to happen again? You're going to get uprooted and leave. You're going to get uprooted and leave. I know that if you plant a plant too many times, it is eventually going to die. But if you allow for it to take root, it will thrive and survive. Now, it's going to go through some rough seasons. I have a hydrangea in my front yard that Rachel and I just planted. I know the roots are deep. I know that the hole that was dug was perfect. I know that it's been watered every single day, but it looks rough right now. It does not look very hydrangeous. I think it's trying to figure out the acidity of my soil and what color it wants to be. I don't know, but it looks like it might be dying. But I keep getting told, it's going to come back, it's going to come back, it's going to come back. Because its roots already took form. Now, you may be thinking, okay, I got roots here, I'm rooted, I'm all that. But who's next to you? Who's that person when you're going through a rough season and you're feeling withered and beat down that comes up beside you and encourages, empowers you, gives you some fresh water? I look around and I think of the Benedettis and the Matarazzos and the Youngs and even the Armstrongs are taking up faith and the Larsons. Their roots are so deep. Larry and Phyllis Powden, so deep. Their roots are so... Now, you think that they've never had a rough season? Randy, Leslie, you think they've never been offended by somebody at church? No, but their roots are so strong and so deep that they're able to withstand the challenges, the trials, the ups and downs of life. They need to stay rooted because if they uproot at this point, a tree that's mature, a tree that has deep roots, you'll definitely kill that one. Now, I want to drill this illustration home, so I'm going to talk about another plant. How many of you have ever heard of a sequoia tree? Anyone? Okay, you've heard of them. How many of you have seen one in person? I'm going to see them. I can't wait. I want to go see those trees more than anything. Because they're amazing. They can be 250 to 300 feet tall. These trees, they're 12 to 15 feet wide. That's a big tree. But the most amazing thing about the sequoia trees isn't their size, isn't their height, isn't how wide they are at the base and all the way up. It is their roots. Because sequoia trees don't live by themselves. They don't grow by themselves. You'll never see a sequoia tree without another sequoia tree next to it. They grow in groves, small groups, like 8 to 12. We're going to kick off groups here soon in the next month or so. But I want you to know that the reason they grow in groves is because their roots, once they go into the ground, which is only 10 to 12 feet, which is amazing based upon a 300-foot tree, they get intertwined with the tree next to them. And then that tree gets intertwined with the tree next to them and next to them and next to them. And so much so that their roots are so interwoven that when the storms of life come and wind beats against that tree and storm comes and lightning comes and thunder hits, it is something that tree can withstand, not because of itself, but because of the 9 to 10 other trees next to it. Their strength in the root system. So I'm challenging you. Maybe you've been here for a while and your plant is starting to flourish and the seeds have been planted and they're starting to take hold, but you're still in a potting plant from Home Depot. Rachel and I have a rose bush that we got and it's still in the potting plant. This thing's dying too, but we're trying to figure out which spot to put it in because it needs full sunlight, but we really want it under the tree. It'd be perfect there. But we have a full sun area that we haven't planted in yet, and I know it's dying because it's still in the pot. Get out of the pot. Get planted into the bigger picture. Let's keep going. Verse 18 through 19. The seed that fell among the thorns. Everybody say thorns.
Thorns.
See, the jagger bush.
Jagger.
Okay. Represents others who hear God's word, But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire of other things, so no fruit can be produced. You have great soil. Things are growing, but there are other things that are choking out the healthy things in your life. Oh, I don't like thorn bushes. Definitely don't like those jaggers either. Jagger bushes are the worst. This illustration was really hit home for me because of a Pittsburgh mission trip we were just on. Mike and I were doing some landscaping at the Agape Center here in White Oak, McKeesport. And there was the biggest jagger bush I've ever seen in my life. We spent well over an hour and a half. Chainsaws, hedge clippers, pruning shears, weed whackers, everything to get rid of this jagger bush. And when we did, there was a tree behind it. We had no idea the tree was there, this beautiful tree. There were beautiful ornamental bushes that were planted there. We had no idea they were there because they were getting completely drowned out by a jagger bush. The lady that works there came out onto the walk, and she's like, I had no idea that was there. This looks beautiful. This is great. There are things within your life that are drowning out and suffocating the seeds of God that have been planted in your life. And you need sometimes to call in a professional landscaper, a professional gardener, a professional pruner, farmer. Now you're like, man, I wish that in spiritually thinking that we had like a time where you could go get landscape gardened and you can see some things planted in your life and removed from your life so other things can grow. I really would, and that'd be great, Pastor. We should schedule that. As a matter of fact, we did. It's called Victory and Freedom Weekend. We should start calling it Victory and Freedom Gardening Landscaping Weekend. Because there's some things in your life that need cut away. There's some things in your life that just need pruned back so other things can grow. There's some things in your life that completely need removed so other things can be planted. And other people can benefit from you going through a gardening weekend. Now, guess whose is full? Can't even sign up for it now. Guess whose?
The women.
The women. Why? Because they love gardening. I just love it. Love gardening. Love seeing things flourish. Marigolds and hydrangeas and you know, whatever other plant you want to say there that's pretty and fun. Guess whose isn't filled up yet?
Yes.
If you didn't guess that one, we are going to have problems. It was a 50-50 shot, and you already got the other 50% right. The men. Why? Because you're like, I don't garden. I don't garden at all. I don't. No. But I know some landscapers. I know some power tools that are really fun to use when you're landscaping. And listen, the electric ones are just as fun as the gas ones now. It's amazing. Battery technology has gone through the roof. Lithium's cool. The battery form. I heard somebody say something. Guys, there's some things in your life that need cut away. There's some trees that have taken root from your past or even from your present, and that they need chopped down. They need thrown into the shredder. That's what Victory and Freedom's about, men. You identifying some things that have grown in your life that weren't supposed to grow as thorny, jagger bush-like. But they have, and they need removed. They need removed. Victory and Freedom and the connection to this story was really brought to life for me a few months ago. There was a huge storm in Pittsburgh. Huge storm. It caused a lot of damage within our community. And there's a family within our church that they had so many trees fall down in their backyard. I'm talking about giant trees. It's a miracle that their house wasn't crushed and nobody was hurt. They didn't have power for almost 3 weeks. But one Sunday, a deeply rooted family called upon some other deeply rooted people and said, hey, we need help. We need some things cut away in our backyard. And I'll never forget this day. I pulled up. I just left a wedding. I had a wedding ceremony on Sunday, so I was about a half hour late. And I walked back there, and there's like 12 to 15 guys with chainsaws. It was exciting and scary all at the same time. Dogs running around. But it was beautiful because that person recognized, I can't get this stuff removed by myself. I need others to help me. There's some things in your life that you will never be able to remove by yourself. You need Jesus and some professional gardeners, landscapers, farmers to do it. You need to get around some people that are going to help you remove the things from your life that need removed and fill them with the things that need to be filled with. Let's keep going. Mark 4, verse 20. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Listen. Healthy things grow and growing things change. Rachel and I just celebrated 15 years of marriage. 21 years together. We dated for 6 years prior to getting married. And healthy things grow, growing things change. I'm a completely different person than who she married 15 years ago. She's a completely different person than who I married 15 years ago. And that's how it's supposed to be. Because you're supposed to become closer to Jesus every single day. And healthy things grow and growing things change. So what's the change that needs to take place in your life so that you can be used for other people's change, for other people's eternity? We're going to start to land the plane here, and I want you to start thinking, what soil are you? Are you a footpath? Are there some rocky things in your life that are keeping that healthy soil that's above you from allowing things to take root? Is there a lot of jagger bushes in your life that are holding you back? You want to talk about some of the biggest jagger bushes? Anybody want to hear?
Yes.
Because you answer the most loud, I'll come tell you. Jackson's always telling the truth. Social media is a big jagger bush. It distracts you. It removes you from the truth in your life. It removes you from the seeds that have been planted so that they can take root. Maybe that needs to be removed. Maybe there's some things from your past that are keeping you from taking root. Or listen, maybe you are healthy soil. And there's seeds that have been planted and flourished and all those things, but you're not taking that outside of these walls. Maybe you need to start doing that. Maybe you haven't taken the first step of being fruitful and allowing for things to take root in your life. And that's really placing yourself before Jesus and allowing for him to just till up the soil so that things can be broken away and you can start to walk in who he is and who he's created you to be. John 1:11 through 13. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You may be here today and seeds have been planted, but you've never allowed for them to take root, and you've been pushing back against that for years even. Or maybe you think your past is too much and God can't handle that. Listen, God's a big God. He can handle all of our pasts, then some. Allow for whatever seed has been planted to take root in your life, but you got to start with allowing for him to till up your past and get rid of it. You all got to hear Chuck share today. You got to hear him share testimony of what God's done in his life and how he's got there. Let me tell you, that started with a real little seed. Because God planted things within him many, many, many years ago. And then things got rocky. Things got hard. Things got this. Things got that. But listen, a seed was planted at a funeral of a very dear friend of his, a coworker that was killed. And I went to the funeral. I went there. I stood there for hours to get up and pay my respects. And Chuck was standing there. And all I did was I gave him a hug. I whispered in his ear, God loves you and he's there for you. You're going to get through this. And I put an invitation to church in his pocket. Chuck ran away from that invitation for a while. But that seed continued to try to grow. And it tried to challenge him. And then finally, eventually, he goes to his barber. And his barber pulls him into the back of the barber shop. Somebody who's been cutting his hair, lining him up for years, and said to him, listen, Chuck, I know you're going through something right now, but I want to remind you that God loves you, and he's there for you, and he wants you to walk with him. And guess what happened? That seed that was planted, that little invitation, started to flourish. He and his daughter attended Bridge City Church 2 Palm Sundays ago now. His life's changed, her life's changed, and other lives are being changed because of fruit. All because of one decision. I'm going to give my life to Jesus and allow for him to till it up. So if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you have allowed for Jesus to take your past because you've repented of it, ask for his forgiveness and allow for him to be the leader and Lord over your life and your future, and you get to spend eternity with him. I want today to be your day. The word of God is very clear to believe in your heart and to confess with your mouth that he is Lord. It doesn't just say believe in your heart and stay silent about it. This is a public thing. It's not just a private, it's public. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've repented of your past, received his forgiveness, and asked him to be the Lord and leader of your future, I want today to be your day. Just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that place where I did that. Anyone at all today? Listen, don't worry about the people in front of you, behind you, beside you. Don't even worry about me. This is a you and God moment. Listen, you guys got to go be farmers this week. Try to harvest some of the seeds that have been planted in our community and the surrounding communities. But right now, I want you to stand to your feet with me. Earlier, you may have been like, wait, we only did 2 worship songs? Yeah, because we saved a bunch for the end. We wanted to switch it up on you a little bit. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, you got to worship in the Bible on Sunday mornings first. You can do it in the middle, you can do it at the end, you can do it in the beginning, all over the place. So we're going to worship, but we're also going to pray. And there's teams of people that are prepared to pray, and they're going to start to make their way forward. And this is what they're going to pray for. You all, as you come forward, and you're going to say, listen, this is the type of soil I am right now. I got a lot of rocks in my life that need to be tilled up and removed. Or maybe you come up and you say, listen, I'm really healthy soil, good soil right now, but I don't think that I'm bearing the fruit that I'm supposed to be in my family or as a father, or as a wife, or as a mother, whatever it may be. Maybe you're not bearing the fruit that you think you should be. And you need prayer. You need to get up here with some landscapers, some farmers. They're going to pray and believe with you. So as we worship, I want us to create just an atmosphere of worship right now, honoring him and praising him. But there's going to be people that are coming forward through the center rows to get prayer. I want you to keep worshiping. You can worship while you're in line. It doesn't say no worshiping while in line. So let's worship. Let's receive prayer and let's believe that God is going to challenge us all to take a step forward and allow for things to be planted in our life that will flourish and grow and take root so that others can flourish and grow and take root. Amen? Let's worship and pray.